Well, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I'm up here because I have just a couple little duties to do today. And so, are we on? Okay, good, good, good. The first thing I want to do is, this is our Advent wreath. And it represents the four Sundays of Christmas. And the candle in the middle is our Christ candle. That's our awakening to the spirit that is within us. A lot of folks say the birth of the Christ, but I believe the Christ has already been birthed in us. And we just need to turn our awareness and our awakening towards it. So this morning, last week, well, a couple of weeks ago, we lit the candle representing what? Represent
faith and hope.
Right, faith and hope. Hope is considered from our human self. That's where things usually begin. We begin in hope, but hope springs forth faith. And faith is that deeper understanding that all has been provided for us, that we are the light, we are the Christ within. The next Sunday we lit a candle for what?
Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace is a real important element. You ever been so busy till nothing really settled you down? Until you remember the peace that is within your heart. Take that deep breath and settle into that peace. That peace does not go away. It's always there. The thing is, we must recognize it and turn towards it. Let it settle us down and light that pathway for us. So today is the third Sunday of the season of Advent, and it represents
love.
We know that Jesus told us, love one another as I have loved you. But do we really grasp what that means? That's a love that's forgiving. That's a love that doesn't criticize. That's a love that even in the face of adversity, we open our hearts and our minds to understand one another and to know that we abide together in love. So speaking of love, I have something very important to do today that is really a bundle of love. And I say that because it's the joy of my heart to work with the Prayer Chaplain Program. It not only is a joy to work with the group of, well, it's about 20 prayer chaplains in our area. And I have six of them right here. Well, not to six today, but I have five of them here with me today. And I want to celebrate them. Yesterday, a couple of us met, and we celebrated one another, and we fellowshiped together. If you are not aware of the Prayer Chaplain Program and the services that these young ladies provide for us, they not only pray up here on Sundays and hold sacred space for all of our congregation, but they also will do one-on-one calls. Now, I know most of you say, well, I don't want anybody calling and talking for an hour. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. The prayer chaplains get right to the point when they make the prayer calls. They'll ask, how may I pray with you today? You give your request. They will pray or hold sacred space for about 3 to 5 or less minutes. So I want you to sign up to receive this service. I have a lot of you out here that receive it already. But just like a muscle needs to be exercised, they need to be able to pray with you to exercise their spiritual muscle. They keep their own prayer life prayed up just so they can serve you. So what I want to do is I want to call them up one by one. I'm not going to attempt to know how many years of service they have. And I'm going to ask you to come up and just line up here so we can stay within range of the camera. So first I want to call Sarah Carr Jordan because she is the other than myself, the longest standing prayer chaplain here at Unity Church of Life. Sarah is going into her 16th year of service.
Wow.
Diane Deacham. Deshaun. I always say that. Sorry about that, Dennis. Deshaun. Now, Diane was here when the program first came to Unity Church of Light. How long has it been here? About in this building? Maybe about 15, 20? Well, longer than that, because about 20 years. Yeah, something like that. So she served a couple of years prior to that. And then she went to Unity, Silent Unity, for a while up in Unity Village. And now she's back here with us about third year being back. So we really are proud to have her here with us. Liz Beckwith. Liz Beckwith, well, you know Liz holds a lot of hats around here. Liz is going into her third year of service, and they really enjoy making the prayer calls. I always say I get more out of making a call to you than me serving you in prayer, so use them. Join ranks with them. Marion Weinkoop is our newest chaplain. She's going into her second year of service. Marion can't be here today. Her husband is going through a health challenge, and she's home helping him through his experience. And we're sending her love and light for her wholeness as she goes through this experience with him. So these are your Unity Church of Light prayer chaplains. I also work with the prayer chaplains from Unity Christ Church. And as we know right now, they're in between a location. So I wanted to make sure that they were honored also because they're very special and dear to our program and to my heart. So, and plus, we all train together, the seven of us meet every month and we do a training segment. So, you know, we're not just out here, we're really with a program that's very good. Lalani Burkhead Hope heads it. So I want to call up, I don't know who's been a prayer chaplain the longest, Mary Biggs, so I'm going to call Mary. And Mary is also a licensed Unity teacher. And probably wears several other hats at Unity Christ Church. So I want to honor them for the service that they have provided to their members. Even as they do not have a structure every week to pray in, They still service their members with prayers. I want to call up Mikey McKinney. Mikey is not only a prayer chaplain, but she's also the president of the board at Unity Christ Church. So, these young ladies are powerful. They're powerful. I forgot to mention, too, Sarah and Mary are both trainers, also prayer chaplain trainers. So, we have a lot of power up here. Use them. They can, I call on them to pray for me. They are really powerful young ladies. So this is the prayer chaplain program persons for 2025. And so I don't know, how many years have you served, Mary?
I think there was a little break there, but going on 14 for me.
Going on 14 for Mary. 8 for my kid. So see, you have a powerful prayer presence standing right here in this one space. And we're looking out at you and we're praying now. Because what we do is just hold sacred space of possibility for whatever it is your heart desires. So I have a little something for you. So thank you for your service. Don't look at the rat. This is the regular floor,
Okay, it's time for a group picture.
All right. Okay, so I have one more thing to do. Since you, I have a couple of questions. Our motto is, I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. That's from the book of Isaiah. And our theme is, here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, where you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. So, prayer chaplains of 2025, do you dedicate yourself to a daily spiritual journey which is based on love, faith, prayer, and gratitude? Say, I do, if you will.
I do.
Will you demonstrate an active commitment to your church community and its universal truth principles and beliefs in your daily life?
I do.
Will you hold a spiritual space of possibility for others and yourself, knowing and trusting that God is in charge?
I will.
Will you lovingly listen to others' prayer requests and listen to Spirit before speaking from the heart in prayer?
I will.
Will you hold all that is shared with you in strict confidence?
I will.
And this is what we commit ourselves to you to do. And we're ready to pray. So some of us will be up here after service. Use us. It's very powerful. Don't miss your opportunity to have strong prayer this day. Not only this day, but going forward. So that ends our... Oh, I have one other thing. Wait a minute, I forgot. Yeah. Yesterday, I passed out these sheets. Everyone else received theirs. Oops, I gave you the wrong one.
Well, thank you. Okay.
No, I did. I gave you the right one.
Okay.
I just want you to know a little bit what it says to them. It says, "Before I pray with others today, I surrender human judgment to divine discernment, human willfulness to divine will, and let the limitations of my human mind, I surrender to the limitless wisdom and understanding of divine mind." And it goes on, if you'd like to see more, you can see the, I'll have mine on the board downstairs after service. So, prayer chaplains.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know your baby boy has come to make things new? And this child that you're delivering would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Your baby boy will give sight to the blind man. Mary, did you know? Your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand. Did you know? Your baby boy has walked angels tread. You kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. Mary, did you
have a wonderful guest speaker today, Jackie Compton, licensed yoga teacher. We're so glad you're with us.
I was told to adjust this thing. Testing. It's wonderful to be here. I'm glad you're here too. It'd really be lonely if you guys weren't here. Congratulations to all the prayer chaplains. What a wonderful way of serving. It is a sacred trust that you give to us. And I just want to say that that type of service is the beautiful example of the Advent season. And I appreciate you. Thank you. Advent is a time of preparation and anticipation for the birth of Jesus Christ. We describe our devotion through story and song, just like in the song, Mary, Did You Know? Thank you, Brian, for singing that. I asked him to sing that specifically, because that is one of my very favorite songs. But how can we grasp the depth of Jesus' glorious manifestation? Can we really understand who he was, that this man Jesus, and who he truly is as the example of Christ consciousness, the great I am? Traditional religions believe in Jesus as their savior, but Unity focuses on Jesus' teachings. Instead of believing in Jesus, we believe Jesus, and we try to understand and incorporate his philosophy and actions into our own lives. Jesus is our way-shower. He shows us the way. He modeled how to develop the Christ consciousness within us. Jesus had to develop his own Christ potential. It was always there, but he had to awaken to it. And we also have to do that. Jesus had a huge mission of introducing the concept of a loving God and the Christ Spirit to people, because they had lots of rules and laws. And he did this through example. He showed them firsthand by having them experience the effects and the power of the Christ in their own lives. The Christ flowing through Jesus, just like the song said, made the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dumb speak, the dead live again, and his followers become new. And we are all his followers. We also become new. We celebrate Jesus as the embodiment of Christ consciousness. Now, Jesus showed people that to develop and achieve Christ consciousness, two actions were required: to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and to love others as you love yourself. That boils down to thought and action. In other words, intention and service. Unity studies Jesus' teachings, but this is what Jesus said about his mission. I did not come to teach you. I came to love you, and love will teach you. Jesus knew the unlimited power of God's love. Millions of songs, movies, and books have been written about the feeling of love. But love is not a feeling. Tina Louise Spalding, who is a spiritual medium, wrote a book entitled Love and a Map to the Unaltered Soul. In the introduction of this Jesus channeled book, Jesus had a long opening statement, and I'm going to quote it. Love is the answer to all your problems. And there are many, many problems on your planet. You see problems of scarcity, sickness, war, fear, and broken relationships. You see many issues, but they are all iterations of the same problem, which is the lack of understanding of what love is, how to achieve it, and how to access it as a frequency. Yes, love is a frequency. Many of you think love is a feeling. Well, the feeling is the result of the frequency. The feeling is not the frequency itself. This is an important distinction. Love is a high frequency, not like fear, shame, jealousy, or pain. It is high on a frequency scale, and to reach it, you must climb a ladder of sorts, your own consciousness evolution, unquote. Jesus is encouraging us to spiritually evolve our consciousness through love. According to him, the energy of love will teach us. The best descriptor of love, in my opinion, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In your bulletin, the passage is in there. And I'd like us to read this together. So if you take it out. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Thank you for reading that with me. By comparing 1 Corinthians' description of love with Jesus' actions, we may be able to understand what love really meant to Jesus. Knowing that, we can follow Jesus' example in our own lives so that we can evolve our consciousness like Jesus is wanting us to do. So let's look through the lens of 1 Corinthians at how Jesus loved. First line, love is patient. Jesus was patient with his people, even when they didn't get the message. He talked a lot about heaven, and yet the disciples were constantly falling back into the world's competitive view, asking questions like, well, who gets to heaven first? And when we're in there, who's going to be the greatest in heaven? But Jesus would repeat his ideas over and over for 3 years, and every time he would respond to them with love and without judgment. As much as Jesus talked about commitment, his followers still abandoned him in the end. But love is patient, and Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. Despite Jesus' innumerable healings and other miracles, and now rising from the dead, Thomas needed Jesus to prove that he was who he said he was. But Jesus was patient. With love and without judgment, Jesus invited Thomas to examine his wounds so Thomas could be convinced that he really was Jesus. Next line, love is kind. Jesus demonstrated kindness in many ways. Jesus championed women and was probably the first true feminist. He was kind to women, understood their plight in that society, respected them, and taught the women spiritual truths. Jesus was kind to children and respected and valued them also. When the disciples and others disrespected children, Jesus told the adults that they needed to be like children. Open, receptive, joyful, curious, and unlimited imaginative thinkers. Jesus was kind by spending time with people who offered him nothing, but who needed him. Outcasts from society, tax collectors, prostitutes, the poor, the sick, and even the enemies of the Jews. He showed kindness by healing people, feeding the hungry, forgiving everyone, and seeing all with God's eyes. He upheld the Christ in others, and that is a kind act indeed. Next line, love does not envy, does not boast, and it is not proud. Jesus focused on fulfilling God's will rather than seeking personal recognition or glory. He never took credit for the miracles that occurred.
He always gave credit to God for all those good works. Jesus repeatedly stated that he came to do the will of his Father, which was to love, not to seek personal gain or praise. Jesus did not boast, and he was not prideful. He did not stand above anyone else. One example was his washing the disciples' feet. This was normally done by a servant of low esteem, but Jesus chose to do it as a way of loving his disciples and teach them to not be boastful or prideful. He showed them that serving each other was the way to love one another. Jesus never asked, "What's in it for me?" Rather, every action was a statement of love for the person he was addressing. Jesus knew in his heart that all good comes from God, the source of love, and his being God's vessel to do God's acts of love was Jesus' own reward. Next line. Love does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, and is not easily angered, and keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus' mission was to honor people. He was not self-seeking at all. At any point in his mission, when things were tough, he could have just stopped and moved to another country. To avoid his inevitable future, he could have just gotten on that donkey and gone in a different direction and found a new place to live and live peacefully and quietly. But he did not do that because his mission was to honor others and to be God-seeking and not self-seeking. Jesus hardly ever experienced anger, but there were a few times. What made Jesus angry speaks volumes about the type of person that he was and the high frequency that he displayed. On the handful of occasions that Jesus was angry, it was always because someone was disrespecting another person or a group of people. He was angry at the Pharisees for their refusing to help someone who had a shriveled hand. He got angry at the disciples for their treating children as second-class citizens. He got angry at those who turned the temple into a den of thieves because it took away the opportunities for Gentiles to draw nearer to God. Jesus did not keep a record of wrongs people had done against him. That would have been a very long list. Jesus didn't hold resentments against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priests, the Romans, or even his own disciples. Jesus was not even angry at Judas after Judas betrayed him. Forgiveness was a pivotal point of his ministry. Jesus showed the ultimate love by forgiving those who were actually killing him when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He just loved them all and continued to carry God's message to them because that was his mission. Next line, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Jesus was of high frequency and did not delight in evil. He rejoiced in the truth about God's loving power and potential. When Jesus sent out the disciples in twos to preach and heal, he told them to take nothing with them, but to have faith, to listen to their intuition, and to speak with authority. He rejoiced in the truth. He rejoiced in God's protection. Next line. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Jesus actively defended the marginalized and vulnerable and showed a protective love for those who needed it most, like the adulterous woman who escaped stoning because Jesus intervened. Despite the opposition he faced, Jesus persevered by consistently placing his trust in God's will, demonstrating faith even during moments of intense anxiety. His teachings and actions communicated a message of hope for a better future, promising forgiveness, love, and peace. He continued to trust his disciples and always had hope for them and in them, despite their missteps. Next line. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
Jesus' beliefs were so strong that he maintained a high frequency and expected the best possible outcome, despite appearances. Jesus loved so profoundly that he was able to bear all things by accepting and enduring hardship during his mission. He had faith in God and hope in the good potential of others, even when they resisted or made mistakes. He was committed to his people at the time he walked on earth. And through Jesus' channel books, we know that Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus are committed to humankind even today. Next line, love never fails. Jesus loved without failing by demonstrating a selfless, unconditional love through his actions. He was love. Healing the sick, serving the poor, forgiving people, demonstrating a love that was not dependent on other people's behavior or worthiness. It was a constant, unwavering expression of grace and compassion. Jesus loved everyone equally, regardless of their social status, past actions, or beliefs. He showed his love through concrete actions like healing, teaching, and serving others. Last line, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. How did Jesus do all this? Good question, right? Jesus developed his Christhood by focusing on faith, hope, and love. Loving God with all his heart, and all his soul, and all his mind, and loving others as he loved himself. That was his mission. Jesus lived his own commandments. He lived God's will. Jesus' tenets of faith, hope, and love can be compared to a three-legged stool or a triangle. Physics has shown that the triangle is geometrically the strongest shape or configuration. No matter how much pressure is exerted, the structure will not break. Jesus demonstrated his faith, hope, and love through gratitude, forgiveness, and service. I haven't talked much about gratitude during this time, but it is essential to achieve a high-frequency consciousness. Jesus gave thanks for everything before he received anything. He understood how important gratitude was in developing a higher-frequency consciousness. God's will was Jesus' will. Christ's consciousness is the result of human will aligning with God's will. It occurs when faith, hope, and love, our gratitude, forgiveness, and service are lived on a daily basis. The Spirit of God dwells in every person, just as it dwelled in Jesus, the man. Every person has potential to express the Christ within themselves. Each of us, every one of us, had that divine potential within us from before our creation. Christmas is not about the birth of a baby. It is about our birthing the Christ within us through becoming aware of who we are with divinity. During this Advent season, let us love as Jesus Christ loved. Let us mimic Jesus' gratitude, forgiveness, and service that are exhibited in the human traits listed in 1 Corinthians: patience, kindness, humility, composure, optimism, protecting, trusting, hoping, persevering, believing, enduring, and loving. Let us seek and celebrate as Jesus did, being grateful, forgiving, and loving in every situation. And just like the song said, this will place us on the path where angels trod, and we will know that we will be kissing the face of God when we kiss and love each other. Let us embrace life at its fullest and step forward unflinchingly and unapologetically with the same faith, hope, and love with which Jesus Christ stepped into his embodiment. This week, we were inspired by one of our congregation stepping forward and living life unflinchingly
and unapologetically when she stood in the middle of McDonald's and prayed with a woman who was in need. In the middle of McDonald's, she prayed. That's something. That is living in Christ consciousness. As we embrace the coming of the Christ in our lives, then that inspiring divine light from Mary's baby boy will ignite our own divine light and lead us to our spiritual home. We will know then that we are climbing the ladder of consciousness evolution and growing into becoming the great I am. So let's get settled. Take some deep, slow breaths. And let's rest in the warmth of the divine light of Christ. As we journey through this Advent season and the coming new year, let us focus on cultivating peace, light, and life within ourselves and the world around us. The Christ consciousness is an intricate part of our beings, and our love is a precious offering to the world. As we honor the birth of Jesus, the exemplar of this divine presence, we celebrate the blossoming of our own capacity to shine as a beacon of love and compassion. We share its warmth and radiance with all we can connect with the Christ within ourselves, born anew in the silence of prayer and meditation. In this quiet space, let us recognize how Christ Jesus' high-frequency love calls us every day. Contemplate how Jesus truly loved, what he said, and who he was as a human and divine being, and how he served God and mankind. And let us remember his faith in us, his belief that we could do greater things than he. Let us contemplate our own frequency of love, and how we can raise that by loving as Jesus loved. Let us become aware of what we say, who we are as a human and divine beings, and how we may serve God and mankind. Let us now take a few moments to contemplate these ideas in the silence. We are so grateful for the grace and guidance of Christ Jesus, our way sure. We believe Jesus. We know that as we align our will with God's will, an expansive world of wisdom, joy, and peace open to us. And we are guided by Spirit to say the loving thing and do the loving thing. And in the process of loving others, love returns boundless blessings to us also. Father, Mother, Spirit, we are so grateful for your loving presence and guidance in our lives. Thank you. In the nature of Christ Jesus, we say amen. And so it is. So if you would please join me with reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from error. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.